This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the November 28th edition of Invest Talk. We're almost through November after my favorite holiday is over with, and now Christmas is coming up, the holiday season. And this is all about above-average investing for the average investors, as we talk about every day. And it's a two-way conversation. It's always about money, your money, my money, everybody's money. If there's a place in your portfolio for bonds, why not buy bond funds? You've heard me talk about them. And I really do think there's a lack of knowledge about bond funds. Many bond funds pay an attractive dividend, and they look really good, are showing strength on a chart. You look at any long-term chart of a bond fund, they go up and up and up and up, right? They have for years and years and years. And there's a very simple reason for that, because interest rates have gone down for years and years and years. Now, are we at the bottom of the interest rate cycle? Many experts besides myself think so, and I've been calling for a bottom starting almost 2 years ago, and of course the bond funds kept going down even after the QE stopped. So it looks like we have a bottom in the interest rate cycle, but hell, no one really knows, but I feel confident that I think it is, but I could be wrong. But bond funds have risks. Of course, the basic interest rate risk is what I've just been talking about, but there's also market risk. Bond funds, remember, who's paying the bond funds? Companies, municipalities, whose bonds are in there, and you have a risk of default of those people. You have, if it's a foreign bond fund, you have the currency exchange risk. There's maturity risk, long versus short maturities of the bonds inside the fund. There's risk there. So, and how about one probably haven't thought about? Redemption risk. What if there's all of a sudden everybody wants out of their bond funds? Do you think the value is going to go up or down? Everybody wants to dump them. There's got to be a buyer for every seller. Prices will get driven downward. So there's the redemption risk. So there's these kinds of risks that involve bonds and bond funds. And some of these same risks exist in buying the bonds directly, but there's fewer risks in buying the actual bonds and holding them in your portfolio. But there's still risk, and there's additional risk. There's a risk of non-diversification if you're buying bonds directly. You got to buy enough of them. You can't just buy one or two. You got to buy enough of them to diversify the risk of, you know, whoever's the entity that is issuing the bonds. If they go under or stop payment for some reason, like Puerto Rico. So you can't just buy all Puerto Rican bonds and think I'm pretty safe. No, that's not true. Anyways, I just think we all need to think about it and learn more about it. Okay? Time to go to our 24-hour listener line. You can check in for questions anytime you want. But wait a minute. No, here's a live caller that just came in. Let's talk to Joel in Napa. How you doing, Joel?
Okay, Steve. Nice to talk to you today. Anyhow.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, calling about Autonomic Incorporated, AUTONOMIC, I think is the spelling. I'm not sure if it's publicly traded or not.
Automatic data processing? That's automatic. You're autonomic, right?
Autonomic, yeah. The reason I'm curious about it is I read that Ford Motor Company is using them to help them with, I don't know, they're automated cars, I think. And there was even mention that Ford could even maybe buy the company, Ford Motor.
Yeah, it looks like a private company, Joel.
Private company?
Because it's not coming up on two of my databases as a public company.
Yeah, must be private.
So that tells me it's probably private, and I can see Ford or GM buying these kinds of company, because we all know that we're going to go self-driving cars not too distant future,
and if it was
they need all the help they can get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking, I like Ford Motor. I own some Ford Motor stock, and I'd love to own this Autonomic if Ford is involved with it, and they might even buy the company. Yeah. It could be a great thing, but can't do it.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
well, thank you, Steve.
I appreciate the call, and I do like Ford, too. Well, Ford's one of my favorite. I'm not a big auto company buyer, but I do like Ford. They have a really nice dividend. It's pretty secure, and I think Ford is run well. I think Ford is run very well. Joel, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Let's go to Victor in New Jersey. How you doing, Victor?
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
I have a question. I'm 53 years old. I'm going to be interviewing some financial planners. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I should manage my money myself, because you read the stories about the Bernie Madoffs and the couple other guys ran off with other people's money. I don't have a lot of money, but it's my money.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Okay, let me give you some little bit of hints or advice, Victor. Remember, a financial planner is not an investment advisor. He plans your financial future, financial present, but he doesn't invest money. He will suggest where you should invest money, and many of them will suggest products that pay him commissions. So be very careful of that. Okay. Make sure your money is in with a custodian that is SIPC insured, SIPC insured, and that way the thieves can't steal your money. At least if they do, it's insured with SIPC. SIPC is $500,000. So, that much is protected. So make sure whoever is holding on to your money is SIPC insured. Do not buy any private REITs, private trusts, nothing. Always make it public.
Okay.
A public corporation. Stay away from the privates. And this will also protect your money. Okay? That's what this is all about. There's great private investments out there, everybody. So don't be emailing me saying I did this and I made a lot of money. I understand that. But there's also a lot of crooks out there. And that private investment is not usually SIPC insured, no matter who the custodian is.
Okay.
So a financial planner
won't be able to take control of my money and do what he wants.
No, he cannot. And the only way he can do that is if you give him authority. He puts the money in his own account, and he runs to Mexico with it. So make sure your money does not go in his account. It goes into a Schwab account, an E-Trade account, TD Ameritrade account. Yeah, make sure it goes into one of those guys. They're all SIPC insured, and then the investments are from there.
Okay.
Call, Victor. Yes, call me up if you have any questions. Don't even hesitate to call. Just call up.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah. Anybody has any questions like that, they're not sure what they're doing, and they got a financial planner or registered investment advisor, and they want you to put the money in some kind of private thing, give me a call, and we'll talk about it. You've got to protect your money. That's number one. Protect the money. Remember, that's even Warren Buffett's number one rule. First rule is not to lose any money. Second rule is to watch for the first rule. John, if you'll hold on, you'll be next, but I got to go to a break, apparently. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Something to think about. Buying or selling most ETFs does incur a trading commission. That can make ETFs less than ideal for investors who are making regular contributions of small amounts of money. Do you got questions about ETFs? Check in now, 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to John in Santa Cruz. How you doing, John?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
Good. can you tell me, do you have any idea why the MLPs are doing so poorly when the price of oil is up close to $60 a barrel?
Well, for everybody else, MLP's master limited partnerships, and many of them, the reason why John is talking about MLPs and oil is because many of them, that's how they derive their income, either through storing oil or transporting natural gas or oil. You know, that. So why are they doing poor if the oil companies are doing fine? And John, when I looked into this, it just looks like that the interest rates, the returns are just not attractive enough yet. And I think people are anticipating that oil prices are going to go down. And therefore, they don't want to be in an MLP attached to oil, natural gas. Even though it's held up pretty darn well, oil and natural gas prices. But see, OPEC is meeting. Did you know they're meeting now? And it is thought that they're going to continue they're going to increase their production. They're not going to keep cutting it because they think the price is high enough. So I think they could be totally wrong. They, meaning the investors, you know, they could be totally wrong in how low the MLPs are trading. But, you know, if you get one and you do know about the tax issues with them and you're getting a very nice dividend and they have long-term contracts, there's nothing wrong with dipping your toe in them at this point. I think they're cheap enough.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, John. Thanks for the call, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
Master Limited Partners. There's a reason why it's an MLP, Master Limited Partners, and it's all about taxes and ownership. And if you own an MLP, you are owner of that company, and therefore you could be liable. It's a little bit different. These are MLPs. They're not publicly traded companies where you're not responsible for some of the liabilities they take on. MLP, you can be, depending on how it's structured, be responsible for the liabilities they take on. It gets complex, everybody. It does. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I appreciate the call. Thank you. I did. I really enjoyed Thanksgiving. It's one, as I said before, my favorite holiday. Except my nephew got hurt playing football, so he plays for Washington. So.
Yeah, oh, well. Here. Yeah. He's supposed to be getting drafted pretty high, is what I hear.
I think he's going to go first round.
Oh, is it that high?
That's what they say.
I heard him in the top three rounds, but.
Yeah, I've heard late in the first round. We'll see. You never know.
Yeah, they even say he might get drafted by the Niners out here. But anyway, I just had a question on Elekta. I'm looking to get some down the road. But the question I have is, there's two symbols that seem similar, EKTAY and also EKTAK. I just wondered which symbol or what's the difference in those two different symbols or tickers.
Well, I got some information. This is Elekta ABADR over the counter.
Right.
AKTAY. Not
is
much
it,
information
there's
though.
Also it's getting, one KTAK, and they seem like they're the same.
Say that again.
EKTAK.
T-A-K.
Seems like it's a company.
Huh. Well, it could be. They could be two. It could. It's possible. It's over the counter and an ADR. I have very little information on it. It doesn't trade very much. It's extremely small.
Right.
Art, I just don't have very much information on it. It's not coming up on my screen. Sorry about that. Appreciate the call,
okay.
Though. This is the best talk on. Thank you, Art. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. Welcome. I welcome all money questions. We can talk live. Hopefully, I can have some answers for you. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific Time, 888-99-CHART. Okay, so let's look for the top. It looks like what we're going to discuss today. One is how to pick the best asset allocation for you. Not best asset allocation, but one designed for you. And that's going to be the main talking point. And did you see that Vanguard is going to launch or is launching active ETFs? Vanguard, They're the founders of the index funds, and their specialty is indexing, but they're going to launch active ETFs. And why global markets, including ours, can keep going up. Got four reasons for you. And finally, there was a white paper came out by Societe Generale, Italian, the big banking company. They are saying that the investors may be reliving the parable of the boiling frog. If you don't know what that means, I'll explain it to you. Market was up big, Dow up 256 points, NASDAQ 34. By the way, that's half as much percentage-wise as the Dow. So the Dow led today by a long margin. And then the S&P was up 26. Pretty interesting. And remember, I've been giving you up and down volumes, up stocks up on volume and stocks down on volume. Well, today we had a turn to more normal. So that was a pretty broad market run today. There were 162 stocks up on volume today and only 118 down on volume. So that's a trend you want to see. You want to see that going forward. It gives you much more confidence in the market. Okay, well, now let's go ahead and go to Bruce. Thanks for holding on, Bruce. I appreciate it.
Oh, fine, Steve. I'm wondering about Diebold, DBD. And, it's just come off of all-time low, I think. And wondering if you would consider this a
recommend
value down here.
Okay, let's take a look. It's $19 stock right now, $19.35, $1.4 billion. So it's a mid-cap. Maybe you can say it's small, but that's a pretty big small cap. So you want to say it's a pretty little mid-cap is what you want to say. They make earnings. They make money. They've always made money, consistently make money. So their sales are growing. Now, the problem is 4 quarters ago, the sales were growing over 100%. 3 quarters ago, 96%, 2 quarters ago, 14%. So the growth of sales has fallen. And as a growth stock, that means the price will go down. When the growth of a growth stock starts to fall, the stock price goes down. That's very normal, even though it's still growing. Now you're asking, Bruce, is it falling enough? Is it time? Is this a spot where you start to pick it up because it looks like it's fallen enough? And at $19 a share, they're going to make $1.51 next year. That's up 37% from $1.10 this year. So now don't get carried away. In 2010, they're making $2.20 a share. But at $1.51 and a $19 stock, you're looking at a PE that is 9, 10, 15. That's not too bad. That's about a 12. 13 PE, and that's way on the low end of its range, way on the low end. Good return on equity, good cash flow, pays a nice dividend at 2.1%. So this is probably where you should pick it up, Bruce, this price and where it is now. It bottomed a little bit below 17th. Now it's been recovering for a couple of weeks, so this is probably the area you want to buy it. You might buy half a position and see how it works. Good. Hopefully it works for you. Diebold, DBD, everybody. Manufacturers, banking, transaction systems, ATMs, vaults, and depositors, and electronic security products. That's what they do. Okay? DBD. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Time for Invest Talk Personal, about the day-to-day personal financial choices that can impact your lives, our lives, everybody's lives. Can you convert a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA? Now remember, the major difference between the two programs is that the money you put in an IRA is tax-deferred until you start withdrawing it in retirement. With a Roth, you put in money after you pay taxes on it, but not on any gains as you go forward. And you never have to pay taxes on any of the gains when you start taking them out, where you would a regular IRA. And you can start taking them out at 59 and a half years old. So how do you convert from one to the other? If you decide you want to convert, the simplest way is to have the financial institution that currently holds your traditional IRA transfer some or all of that money into a Roth IRA. You don't have to do all if you don't want to. But whatever you transfer is going to be taxed. Okay? You can also do the rollover yourself, withdrawing money from your traditional IRA and depositing another account, a Roth IRA. You can do that. I wouldn't recommend that because that gets, you know, that means the IRS is going to ask a question. It's better to do it directly from institution to institution or into the same institution with two different accounts. So just be careful. Just be careful. That's InvestTalk Personal. Do you have experience with credit unions you'd like to share? Send me a note. Click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley.
Our podcast continues next. First, good reason number 5 for a portfolio checkup with Steve. Steve says that many portfolios he looks at are weighted in just one or two sectors. A diverse mix of market sectors is so important to the health of a retirement portfolio. Steve can help you reorganize your retirement portfolio. He can make suggestions about the sectors of the future. And if you'd like, a KPP financial program that fits your goals and your life situation. There's never a cost for InvestTalk listeners and no sales pitch or obligation of any kind ever. To schedule your one-on-one conversation with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review, or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. And now let's continue with the podcast. You're listening to InvestTalk, 1 hour of financial news and perspective, where you can talk directly with a registered investment advisor. Bring your questions now. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
Okay, how to pick the best allocation for you, allocation of your investments. You know, I see this all the time. I get people's portfolios, and none of them look like each other. They might have some of the same holdings, but each person has its own, you know, prejudices of what they like and what they don't like in an allocation of their portfolio. So that's one of the things I have to determine before I can tell them if they're properly allocated. So what does that mean? Well, there's a couple things I need to know. What are your objectives and what's your time horizon? You know, if your objective is just to earn income and be fairly conservative about it, and you have 10 years or 50 years or whatever, that's a different, totally different allocation than if you say, well, I got 20 years, but I want to be aggressive. So you got to, what is your objective? To grow this portfolio, to have this portfolio produce income or a combination of both? What is your objective? And then you have to decide, well, how much risk are you willing to take to achieve your objective? You know, you have to take risks to get rewarded. And the reward is better and better the more risks you take. But also the opposite is true. The more risks you take, the damage could be bigger and bigger to your portfolio. So there's a trade-off that you have to decide. How much of a trade-off are you willing to give? To get that reward, how much are you willing to risk and get the possible penalty if you don't get the reward? And then you really should set yourself a goal. What is your goal? Do you want $1 million, $10 million? What's your goal and at what time frame do you want it? It always is good to have that because that goal keeps you focused on what you want and where you're going. And then you sit around and discuss what kind of investments you really want to achieve your goals over your period of timeline. And then after you buy those things and a year or 2 years goes by, you got to constantly rebalance, keeping your investment risks and goals in mind. It's not simple. It's not rocket science either, but it's not simple. But it is something that you have to keep working at. And that's the main talking point we're going to discuss today. This is InvestTalk, everybody. What else is on your mind? What is interesting to you? But I want to get back to the phone calls. Our 24-hour listening line is always open. 888-99-CHART is the anytime number.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Kaushik from Naperville, Illinois. I was watching an interview with Mr. Jeff videos, which was recorded in 1999. At that time, Amazon never made a profit, and the response from Amazon was that they were investing the money for their future. Now we all know Amazon's growth. You always rightly suggest that the earning is important when we do our research about a company. My question to you is, how do we find out that the company which is not making an earning is actually investing in the company? Otherwise, they could show an earning. Thank you for your guidance.
Okay, that's a very good question. Because, you know, I always talk about don't buy a company unless they make money. And the reason why I do that is that because that should be 99% of your investments. Companies that make money, have shown a track record of making money, are growing that sales and earnings. But I've always said that you could take your chance on something, just don't take a big chance on something. For instance, that was Amazon then, and you can say the same thing then as you can say about Tesla today. Tesla doesn't make money, doesn't have any prospects to make money for at least the next couple of years. At least, maybe it might go bankrupt. The same argument could have been back then about Amazon in 1998-99. It could have been the same thing because they were not making money, never made money. But they did have a business plan, and so does Tesla. And I've told you over and over now that, you know, Tesla is way too expensive, that they could easily go bankrupt because of the amount of debt they have. But I've also said I think they're going to be the next big auto company also. Now, that sounds contradictory, right? Well, think about it. They're growing their sales very fast. So was Amazon. The question is can you grow your sales fast enough to keep ahead of all the costs that you've incurred and continue to incur? And that was the same question with Amazon back then as it is Tesla today. Can they? Now, the difference between the two is Amazon didn't have hardly any competition and still doesn't today. Tesla is going to have lots of competition, right? Big car companies are all getting into the electric car biz. So don't think it's the same in that manner. It's just the same philosophy to grow your company. So I can tell you this. Sure, you could take a chance on Tesla. I wouldn't take it at this price, but you could take a chance on Tesla and it might work out really great, but only with a very small piece of your portfolio because of the risks involved. Remember, I'm a value plus growth investor. That's what KPP Financial does. We buy value plus we like some growth in those positions that we buy. I can't see no value in Tesla at this point. Not yet. Too expensive. But that's a very good question. Very good question. The trick is how do you know it was Amazon? They probably had 50, 60 other startups doing the same kind of thing back then. How did you know Amazon was going to be the winner? That's the difficult part. Very difficult. 888-99-CHART. Vanguard is launching active ETFs. Remember, this Vanguard is the mutual fund family that John Bogle started, and it's all about, every time you hear him talk, it's all about indexing, buying index funds. That's the best way to do it. Just buy. Well, now he's talking about active ETFs. They're coming out with six of them. Six. Now, when they say active, that means they are being managed by somebody. Now, they will be focused on a particular strategy. For instance, value stocks or growth stocks or momentum stocks. And they said they're going to be very strict rules. This is how you describe a value stock. It has to meet this criteria. And once it doesn't meet that criteria, you get out of it and move on to another one. I'm assuming that's, they say there's going to be very strict rules. I just don't know what the rules are. I don't even know what all six of them are either. But they're going to be rule-driven. Not necessarily the manager of the fund gets to pick whatever he wants to, because they got to stick within the rules. But what I found interesting about this is that it's Vanguard. Vanguard. They're not big on active management of anything. They're big on sticking with indexing and indexing type products. And this is kind of a step out of their comfort zone. And they're kind of forced to do it because they know competition's going to do it. And they know they want to stay on, you know, the ETFs is the future, whereas mutual funds apparently are not. I'm a little concerned about that myself, though, and I think I pointed it out why I'm concerned about that. And that's because in ETF, there is no room for redemption and not affect the price. Whereas in a mutual fund, even an index fund, they always have cash on hand to pay anybody who wants their money out. So there's a little cushion there. Whereas in ETF, there is no cushion. Someone wants their money back, they go and sell it. They have to sell some of the positions. You know, and if there's a lot of someone's all at the same time, there's no cash cushion. They got to sell all the stocks in the index. Got to sell them to get back the money. Remember, there's got to be a buyer on the other side. That buyer on the other side said, no, I'm not, you know, if you have too many sellers involved, that's going to cascade into a pretty steep fall. And no one really knows, really, because we haven't had this much in ETF ownership ever. Don't know. Let's go to Jay in Fremont. How are you doing, Jay?
Hi, Steve. I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Steve, I have a question on ticker MOMO. It's a Chinese Facebook kind of company, and its stock has fallen down, and its revenue is pretty good. So I wanted to know if you think you buy at this price. Thank you.
Okay. Take a look at it. It's MOMO, Momo Inc. It's an ADR. It's a Chinese stock, Chinese provider of mobile-based social networking a platform with 81 million monthly active users. Okay, that's not really a lot. 81 million if it's in China. Remember, they have, what, 2 billion people? So it's not small, it's just not a lot. They're a $4.9 billion company. They started making money in 2015. And so in 2015, they made 15 cents a share. In 2016, 87 cents a share. This year, they're going to make $1.67 a share. And next year, they're scheduled to make $2.30. That's pretty darn good growth. And sales growth is over 100%, 126% this most recent quarter. The problem in why it's fallen is because the quarter before that, sales growth was 200%. The quarter before that, sales growth was 400%. And the quarter before that, sales growth was 500%. So you can see it's still growing very, very fast, but it's slowing its growth, just like I talked about the other one. Anytime you see a slowing growth, usually the stock falls, a growth stock falls. And this has fallen from what? 50, oh, let's see. Oh, why you got this? Get this out of my way. Okay, let's see. The high was 47. Today is at 25. So is it cheap enough? Well, the $25 stock going to make $2.30. So we're talking about a PE of what, 11? And its range, low range, is 14. So, yeah, I think this is a pretty low-priced stock. Now, you want to ask yourself, why did it fall so hard today? It fell very hard today, and why? And is that a problem that's going to last? I have to go to the news that took Q3 earnings, it says, were beat expectations, but they still took a big hit. So did they say anything, Jay, that you know about the future growth or anything?
I think the news was that they said that their forecast was a little bit less than what market expected.
Okay, so this is then an opportunity, Jay. I like that kind of opportunity. This is an opportunity. Okay, so what's a little bit less? Okay, that's why if the PE was 50, I would say, Jay, stay away from it because it's still too expensive. But the PE is going to be 11. Jay, with a growth rate of 50%, which would be less than half now, it would still be a cheap stock. So the value is there. Now, it dropped pretty hard today, Jay. I'd wait a few days to see, make sure it settles down, okay, that it's not going to keep collapsing on you. But I think this is a good place to start thinking about buying it. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Steve.
Appreciate the call, Jay. Momo, M-O-M-O. It's value now. This stock has a good value in it. Management owns 50%, by the way. Doesn't pay any dividend. It's a growth stock. They don't usually pay dividends. But, you know, if it goes down to 18 bucks, that's where it was right at the end of last year, that should be extremely strong support. I don't think it's going to go down that far. I don't. But I would wait a few days to see where it's going to go. MOMO, everybody. Chinese social networking company. And it has a lot of growth potential. With 81 million monthly active users and China with 2 billion people, I think they still got lots of room. Is it time for a retirement portfolio review? A tune-up maybe on your, you want to, or do you want a complete makeover maybe of your account? Maybe you'd like to just explore a new approach. Well, you know, next week I will be in San Jose for individual reviews. The date is December 6th. To get on the schedule, remember, December 6th, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab, and then portfolio review.
How much risk is in your retirement portfolio right now? Risk is essential to a growing portfolio, but how much is too much for you? Take our free risk analysis quiz. It'll help you understand how much risk you feel comfortable with. And then, if you like, you can find out if your current portfolio is a good match. It's right there on investtalk.com. Just click on the Invest Talk tab.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go to, is it Luce? Luck?
Yeah.
How you doing, Luck?
Hi, this is Luck. L-O-C, Luck, from San Jose.
Okay. How you doing, Luck?
Hi, I got a, good. I got a question about a good company to recommend for car battery. I see that there's a lot of companies building electric cars, the Teslas and Toyotas and Hondas, and I just want to invest in battery. What would you recommend?
I can't recommend stocks. The SEC, as I manage people's money, lots of people's money, I cannot come out and say buy this stock or sell that stock. I can only answer questions about stocks you ask me about. So I can't like say, well, I like this battery company. I will say this, you know, Tesla has built a huge battery factory out of Nevada. So they have a big factory portion of their business. But as far as other battery makers, I can't really recommend any. You'd have to ask me about one, and I could look it up for you, but I can't really recommend. Sorry, Locke. Appreciate the call. I'm sorry I can't help you much there. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. As I've said before, everybody, I can answer questions about whatever you ask, but I can't make recommendations on the air. Now, other people who don't manage money can. They can talk about any stock they want, tell you to buy it, sell it, but they don't manage other people's money. The SEC has very strict rules about that. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. We have just a few moments remaining in the hour, but there is still time for you if you want. You can reach me now at 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Brad in Fremont. How you doing, Brad?
Hi. It is nice listening to your show. I wanted to
know
information on the ticker CAVM, C-A-V-M.
Okay. Another growth stock.
Is it like a good time to buy?
I would say no, it's not. And this is why. It's already ran up very sharply from $66 to $87 in a month. It won't do that next month or the month after, Brad. It doesn't. That's not how growth stocks, it spurts up, gets everybody's attention, and the people who owned it when it went up start selling it to new people coming in. So this is probably as high it's going to go for the short term. Short term. If you want to buy it, I would wait for a pullback. I'm pretty sure you're going to get one. Can't tell you when exactly, but if it ever dropped back into the low 70s, 70, 71, 72, that would be a great place to pick it up. This is Cavium Inc., everybody. Designed systems on a chip for networking, telecom storage, wireless security. It's an $8 billion company. or $6 billion company, is growing about 50% in sales last quarter. But the quarter before that, it grew its sales 126%. Before the 124. So this most recent quarter only grew 50%. That's still very high growth, Brad. But that's not as good as it was. And they're going to make $3.56 next year. So you're looking at about a 30 PE ratio or so. And that's pretty expensive. So I'd wait for a pullback, Brad. It's a good, solid company, but I'd wait for a pullback. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Rosa in San... If I owned it, I'd probably put a very tight stop in it. And if it started to fall, I'd sell it. Rosa in San Francisco. How are you doing, Rosa?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Oh, you're welcome. I had a question about Alibaba. I'd like to buy it, and I'd like to hold it for at least 2 years or 3 years.
Okay. Alibaba is another growth stock. I guess this is the day for growth stocks. It is also a Chinese Hong Kong company. It provides online mobile retail like Amazon via its, let's see, what do they call it? Tabayo.com and Tmall.com. It is growing 50%, has been growing 50% a quarter for 2 years. It makes lots of money. It made $5. It's going to make $5.06 this year and then $6.58 next year. And it's $186 stock. So you can see that it's expensive. It's expensive. But it deserves to be expensive. Now, how expensive? Well, its PE range is 22 to 54, and right now it's at 43. So it's kind of on the middle to upper part of its own range. Very good numbers. Not much debt. So it's a really good company to own long term. Now the question is, do you buy here at $186, which is near its 52-week high? And I'm going to say I would be very careful at this height. I much feel more comfortable if you could get it for around 160 or so. If it ever gives you a pullback, if you're not in a big rush, I'd wait for a pullback.
Okay, great. Okay, no, Rosa? No rush. I can wait. So,
thank you, Rosa. That's Baba, B-A-B-A, Alibaba Group. Mike and Gilroy, the garlic capital of the world. How you doing, Mike?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
The ticker is ROKU, Roku. When's a good time to go in and invest in that stock?
Okay, this is a fairly new company, a new IPO. It came out in October. I would always wait at least 6 months or more after IPO comes out, because after 6 months, the insiders can sell, and they drive the stock price down normally. They don't make any money. Roku operates streaming entertainment devices. Growing very fast. I would wait till at least 6 months before considering mine. Appreciate the call. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and I appreciate you spending your time with us today. On behalf of the whole KPP family, I want to thank you for being part of the program, and I'm hoping that we'll do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.